You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Vieira, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Biggie on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. We have an action-packed show today for you. We've got Ellen Little, as usual, sitting in, co-hosting.
Good to see you, Sita.
And we've got Jessica Travis. Is here. I love your name.
Oh, thank you.
It's so nice. Jessica is an attorney. She opened her own practice, and she's here to talk about all the services that she offers, and she's got quite an extensive background. She's going to tell us a little bit about that later. And also, you're also a criminal defense attorney.
Yes.
Which I know somebody who could use your services.
Well, thank
I'm probably going to recommend you. She opened her own firm. You were working, who were you with before?
Well, I have worked various places, but in Brevard, I worked for the firm of Doug Beam, and before that, I was with the Public Defender's Office for about 5 years.
So you have lots of experience.
Yes, I was previously in Kansas City for about 11 years before I moved here.
Oh, so, Dorothy, Kansas.
Yeah.
Kansas. Well, I sing that song.
Yes. And then we have our friend Sasha Zebrick is going to be calling in as well. She's going to be calling in at 107, and Ellen's known Sasha for a long time, and I met Sasha over at the Melbourne Chamber of Commerce when they had their morning breakfast.
Right.
She'd given a really
it
nice...
Was Women of Excellence.
Given a really nice, motivational, uplifting, powerful speech about utilizing our talents, gifts, and abilities to be the best we can be. Right. And I loved it. And I've taken that with me. I've always learned something from these women who empower us, right? And so she's going to be calling in, which is great. But before she calls in, I just want to say, you know, the news... All about the Supreme Court and Brett Kavanaugh. And all I want to tell my listeners who are tuning in this morning to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, if you put teenagers in a setting where there's alcohol, good music, no supervision, stuff is going to happen.
Yes.
It's a guarantee. Because from personal experience, I do remember people coming over to our home over, you know, they assume because you had a nice home and you live in a good place that you were good people, right? And they drop their kids off and take off without shaking your hand or asking you
who
you are.
Or even figuring out whether you were there. I mean, that's the other
point, right? That's the thing. How do you drop your teenager off in somebody's yard and don't park the car? Are we that busy, parents, that we don't come out of our cars to shake the hands of the people that your child is going to spend 4 to 5 hours at a party? Are we that busy?
Right.
I mean, the mothers will just stop and take off. And I always wondered, now, why is that so? Because back home where I was born and raised in Trinidad, we tried our best to get to know our neighbors and our friends. And there wasn't such a thing as too many friends. People had their family, they had chores, gardening, work, responsibilities. But when I came here and I found out, I mean, even like sleepovers, even that's something we don't really do back home. Sleep over with your cousins. Even that you had to be careful too.
Right, right.
They used to say, cousins make dozens.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I'm just saying, we're all talking about what happened to Dr. Ford way back, what is it, the 80s, with the Supreme Court nominee, Brett Kavanaugh. And I do believe that everybody has a story to tell.
Mm-hmm.
It's
Absolutely.
Just whether we're willing to listen and not pass judgment. Because this morning I was watching CNN and they were talking about, you know, that sometimes people have to own up to what they did in life. Mm-hmm. And people like when you say, I'm sorry, that I'm going to make it better.
Right.
But yet there are others that are judging this woman without even hearing her story.
Well, and now the ripple effect, too, of everybody saying, well, if I had to come clean with everything that I did, and I'm like, don't say anymore.
Yes.
Stop
talking. I know. Then you start talking about those five who, what, where, why, and where did it take place?
Yeah, right, yeah.
And everyone has a story. So then I guess it goes into, well, do you forgive? Mm-hmm. I mean, because you could ruin a lot of lives, but we still need to know the story because we're putting somebody on the bench in the Supreme Court that probably, if God help him, I mean, he has got health insurance. He's going to live a long life.
Right.
He doesn't have to worry about mortgage and car payments and health care because he's got a good job, right? So you live a long life. So that's why people are so concerned. And then there's others that saying, well, maybe the FBI should get involved and look for witnesses and all that. And I don't know how that's going to play out because now we have a second witness that came forward.
I'm always for thorough investigations.
Yeah.
My line of work.
Yeah, of course.
I have, you know, represented people that have had really old allegations made against them, and it is really hard to defend against it. But I've also represented victims, sexual victims of crime, and I know they don't always come forward right away. So I can see both sides of it.
Right. And the allegations are serious enough that we should ask the questions.
And I was just making the comment, too, of all these other people that have nothing to do with the situation and saying, boy, if I had to come clean with everything that I did. I'm like, what are you saying?
But here's the thing. What's the big...
So you've been a bad person your whole life? Okay, well, thanks for telling me now.
But the thing is, what's the big rush, though? What's the big rush? We should find out. We should have a thorough investigation.
Right.
I don't understand what the big rush is. That's why we pay our elected officials to represent us so that we can get the whole truth, nothing but the truth and the truth.
Right.
So I don't know what the big rush is. I mean, with the other guy, Merrick Garland didn't even get a hearing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, so we have to be honest and we have to be fair in life, right? So, I mean, that's what criminal justice system is all about. It's about fairness, right? And listening to both sides of the story and coming up to what you think is the best thing, right?
Exactly.
So if we're going to nominate somebody to the Supreme Court and then you have all these ladies, I don't think people understand, but a lot of women, they don't come forward because of retribution, right? It's a lot of shame.
Well, there's a lot of
and a stigma. And a stigma attached to, well, if I say something, I'm going to be the one who's getting the blame. And, you know, I was telling somebody, I said, I remember, you know, where we were born and raised, women really, I mean, things happened that I know for a fact a lot of ladies did not come forward. With my own family, with my friends, I had a friend who committed suicide at the age of 17 because she was pregnant for her stepfather. And at the funeral, the mother and the grandmother were there crying, not for the victim, but for the life of the mother, you know, that owed the stepfather's getting blamed. Well, he did do something. You know what I mean? So it's like, and it was shameful. And, you know, it was like a woman scorned, but she has nowhere to go.
So, but again, we have to have
and men don't understand that.
Try and keep the emotional side out of it, but we need to have logical, good conversations about these things.
Right, but the thing is,
like attacking people on Facebook about making comments and things like that. I'm like, really?
Right.
Well, I think men do understand, but I also feel as though the men that are going to be questioning Dr. Ford may not be as sensitive as women are, so they probably need to have a mixed group talking to this lady, not just men. Men do understand sexual abuse and violence because some of them have been victims themselves, but in my heart I do believe that a lot of women, we have to be very sensitive about this issue and let them speak, because when she speaks, Dr. Ford speaks, she's also speaking for the victims that are yet to come and our girls and our boys that are being raised and afraid to come forward. People in power, they take advantage of others. And I think, speaking from experience, I know that for a fact, we have to be careful, you know? So anyways, well, I think Sasha's on the phone, and Ellen and I know who she is, but we're going to just tell our listeners that Sasha Zebrick is a keynote speaker. She is a speech coach, an author of 4 books, and served on the National Speakers Association Board of Directors in New England. And I've heard her speak before, and I love it. She gives us all this valuable information, how to utilize our time and how to make things count, how to make it matter. So, Sasha, thank you for calling in on our show today.
Thank you for having me again. Hi, Ellen.
Hi.
It's nice to be with you both.
Oh, it's great to be with you.
Thank
you. Well.
And, you know, I am so sorry that I missed your last... you had like a seminar. Was it a seminar?
I did. It was a few weeks ago. Well, you know, we can cover some of it today. It's really that one that I did was really about customer's language. You know, how do you speak your customer's language? And then how do you introduce yourself in Technicolor and get listeners to say three words you always want them to say? Tell me more.
I know. I wanted to come, but I had unexpected company that showed up the night before.
I know, from Trinidad.
I've been to that seminar, the Introduce Yourself in Technicolor, I think twice, and I got amazing results out of both.
Well, what I liked about it is what the caption, what you sent for us, was how to sound smarter, look savvier, and how to be taken more seriously. And I think all of us, you know, whether you own a business or not, we all want to be taken more seriously.
Sure.
We want our voice to be heard, and whatever comes out of our heart, we want it to be counted, right?
Right. I still even struggle with this, even though I'm a lawyer and I'm comfortable talking in court. Now that I've got my own business again, I had my own firm in Kansas City before, but now that I'm doing it again, and it's a different era of social media and, you know, Facebook Live that we just did. And I come from a time where, you know, before the internet, and I'm not comfortable with that self-promotion and talking, presenting myself in a way that maybe my clients, a lot of which are younger and are social media savvy, would respond to. It makes me really nervous, even though I've argued things in front of the Kansas Supreme Court and done numerous jury trials. So it's something, I should attend your seminar.
Yes, maybe Jessica and I will attend the next one. So Sasha, before
there's space for you.
So before we start talking about how to make ourselves more attractive to others and how to be heard, tell our listeners a little bit about your background. I said a few things, but I know there's more.
Well, I like to talk about my clients and how they've benefited. I am so lucky, blessed, and honored to have clients as a speech coach for over 15, 18 years. I help people who are very busy. They work 50, 60, 80 hours a week, and I'm their fast track. I'm their fast track when they have everything from a talk to give their employees to maybe even an unexpected eulogy. Then they know they can get me, and they can get me Saturdays and Sundays, because if they're on retainer, I'm available to them. So I really help people be outstanding, to stand out in the marketplace, to separate themselves from everybody else who does what they do, because our titles aren't what we do. That's a commodity. Many people are bankers and lawyers and speakers and etc. How we do it, what we do is a commodity. How we do it is our value. So I help people dig into who they are, who they want to be, and put words and language and body language and even dress and color to all of what they are, so that they do make an impact, which increases.
So you bring out the best in us. You bring out you bring out what we have in us. You bring out the best in us that we didn't know we had.
I really work to dig, because a lot of it's digging.
Yeah.
It really is, because
you dig
it's
us.
Not surface stuff. It's
yes.
Not surface pieces that are clear.
So here's
and
our
even
first.
Even when I work with CEOs, and even when I work with CEOs about why they're speaking, they know what they're speaking about, but not the why. So digging for the why will set people free. Once they know the why of why they're doing anything, it'll set them free. It'll take off the burden, the stress, and they can get through any headaches.
I tell you what, I'm going to certainly try to come to the next one, because I heard you speak at the Women of Excellence here in Melbourne, and you said so many things that lifted me and helped my self-esteem as well, because I did dig into myself, because you make that happen. I don't know how you did it, but you spoke about your clients, and you told us what people expected from you and what you'd done for certain people, and I really liked it a lot. So tell us, how do we make ourselves more attractive to others?
Let's look at attraction as kind of a magnet. What pulls you toward anybody? What pulls you toward anybody? So in thinking of ourselves as magnets, do we want to be, you know, do we want to connect and link, or are we pushing people away? So the very first thing that we can do always is make our body smile, make it open. A smile is a universal proponent that closes the emotional distance between anybody. So whether you're walking into Publix, or whether you're walking into a backyard barbecue or a boardroom, that smile makes you instantly more attractive than somebody who's frowning.
Makes you likable.
It makes it increases your likability, and likability factor is one of the reasons why we not only know, love, and trust and buy from somebody, but people we like, we forgive them more easily. We forgive them. We give them a second chance. So likability is powerful. And that is a very attractive thing. Do you know what Carrie Fisher said? I just love this. This came out unfortunately, when she died. But she said, beauty is not an achievement. People don't hang around us because we're beautiful. They hang around us, and they're with us because they like how they feel when they're with us. That's the value and the largeness of attraction. People like to hang around us and be with us because of how they feel when they're with us.
Well, I think that goes with the saying, the power of positive thinking. Nobody wants to hang around with someone that when they leave them, they say, oh my God, I'm weighed down. You want to spend time with people that pick you up and lift you up. Because that's how we learn.
Like a spiritual elevator. You can be like a spiritual elevator, lift people up while you're with them.
Do you ever think that there's such a thing as smiling too much to be taken seriously? That's something that I struggle with as a lawyer.
It's a great point, yes. The answer is yes. And giggling is one. You can smile and then giggle. And women have a tendency to do that. Yes, you can smile too much. You can do anything too much. Any behavior taken to an extreme becomes a fault. So it's all the savviness is knowing how much.
And when do we know how much is too much or too little? I mean, I think that's something that a lot of us struggle with, too. Because you want to be nice in your workplace. You want to be accepted. You want people to say, well, you're doing a terrific job. But when do you say, well, maybe I should tone this down a little bit?
I think there are a few reasons. Number one, you could look at what successful people do. Who do you model yourself after? Not that we're going to imitate them exactly, but why are they successful? What do they do? Secondly, you can always ask people in your family and then ask a significant colleague, somebody who you trust. You want feedback. You want to say, if you were to evaluate me on my smiling, what on a scale of 10, what would you give me and why? And do I do it too much? Sometimes you just ask people.
But I think our children are critical. If I ask my children that, they would give me such an answer that I probably would redo my will.
You see, this is a good thing.
I think this is a hard line to walk, especially as a woman. If you aren't friendly enough, you can...
But there are a lot of things that go into that smiling. See, the large picture is we tell people how to treat us by the way we speak. And our bodies speak before we even say a word. Before any of us even speaks, our body is giving out information. Are we standing well or are we slouching? What is our posture, open or closed? Are we smiling? Are we darting our eyes and looking fearful? So all of that communicates how people treat us. Do we, in fact, when we start speaking, do we use language that pulls them there, or do we use slang, profanity, nippy words? All of those pieces. It's not just one thing. It's all of
the combination.
Pieces.
So it's because
communication is really the verbal. That's the language, the words, the vocal, the sound of our voice. And the visual. And people make 11 judgments about us in the first 7 seconds, but you know what they make in the split second? They get a feel. They get a feel, and they sometimes decide in a split second if they like you or not.
Do you think it differs with men and women? Do you think that the judgment is different when it comes to a woman versus a man?
Mm-mm, I don't.
Oh, that's interesting.
No, mm-mm, I don't. I think we can increase our attractiveness a lot of different ways. When I teach a program called Network the Room Like a Pro, I tell everybody, you just said, Sita, we're all looking to be taken seriously. People walk around with an invisible golden ring around their necks, and the golden ring says, make me feel important. So our work as interactors and people who are growing businesses is to make that listener, the person we meet, very important. And so the first thing that we do is we smile and slow down ourselves. I learned something from when I was doing my second whole woman conference in Massachusetts. It was a regional conference, whole woman conference. I hired a humorist, Rosemary Very, to be my keynote. I hired her, and I thought she was going to be all over the stage. I thought she would do this, and she not only surprised me, but shocked me with her originality and her authority. She stood and stayed in the same location, opening her talk as a humorist, 3, 4, 5, 6.5 minutes. And I learned that there's a credence for that, and it's stillness is an authoritative behavior. When we can be still and let people be themselves in front of us, it's powerful. So the second thing we can do to be attractive is to let people talk without interrupting them.
That's really hard as a lawyer.
Yeah, that's hard as
it's hard as a speaker, I know what you mean, and an extrovert.
You know, sometimes that's even hard, like at work, because, you know, the nurses that I work with in the nursing homes, we have between 24 to 30 patients, and sometimes they all want to talk to you. And you, at some point, you have to like cut it, and it really feels bad to do that, but you just don't have the time.
Right. I even find that with my clients when they come in. Of course, they have a problem they want to tell me about, and been doing this long enough. I usually know what needs to be done pretty quickly, but sometimes they just need to have somebody hear them out.
Yeah.
Because they've been dealing with it for a while, and that is an art form almost.
It is. So, what are some ways to get people to take us more seriously?
Well, first of all, when you're meeting someone, give them your total attention. Don't look at your phone, your watch, over their shoulder.
Guilty.
There is something about, with the stillness, with when you're meeting somebody, repeat their name. These are simple little basic things at the beginning because they decide very quickly. And as you listen more by asking them interesting questions, I mean real interesting, significant questions. You can, again, tell them how to treat you by the way you speak, by the way you ask questions. So you want to slow down, give them your total attention.
And what if you can't? What if you can't? What if you can't? Because, you know, like now that I'm running for office, a lot of people come up and they want to talk. And it's heartbreaking because you want to talk to them, but then you have like five other people that want to come up and shake your hand as well. So how do you do that without hurting people's feelings?
You look them in the eyes. You look them in the eyes, Sita, and whatever you think about, I had the pleasure of meeting a few presidents, and one of them had this unique ability to, when you met this person, he looked in your face and he gave you those 3 seconds. You don't shake somebody's hand as a politician looking at somebody else. That doesn't count. So you have to maximize your 15 seconds, and you do that if they have their name tag or their name, you repeat their name at least once.
Well, President Clinton did that with me. He shook my hand and looked me right in the eye.
That's what he did with me.
And so did President Obama. He looked me right in the eye, too, and he says, you have a face that people don't forget, and I felt important. I did.
See, now you already have the answer to your question, Sita.
Yeah, they did look at me. Yeah, you're right. I forgot about that. I buried it in my memory bank.
Bring it up and use it, because when I met Clinton, I met him twice before he was president, and in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, he met my mother and me, and then 3 years ago at Georgetown University. He has that unique ability to give you 3 precious seconds. Other politicians shake your hand, they're looking at 3 other people. I cancel that. I cancel it out. I said he or she didn't work. It didn't work. So you need to maximize that. Give them your attention. Don't move. Don't look at anybody around. Don't even look at the 15 other people wanting your attention. Those first 3, 4, 5 seconds are absolutely significant.
Great.
And when you shake their hand, shake it correctly. A lot of people don't touch the webs of your hand. You need to shake it. And of course, with women with jewelry, especially older women with arthritis, or people with arthritis, you need to be careful. But shake their hand. Not wimpy, but, you know, and I shook a couple politicians' hands in Vero who were running, and they need their mother and dad to help them. They're not there yet. They're not.
Well,
doing
I'm guilty of shaking somebody's hand yesterday and looking at the other three or four people who wanted to come and ask me what my district was. So I'm glad you said that, because today or tomorrow I will not do that. And so
you will be remembered, and smile. And smile, Sita. You have beautiful teeth that go against your skin, and that's a strong image. It's
Thank
a strong
you.
Image. We have to maximize everything that we had. Remember Carrie Fisher, beauty is not an achievement. It's not about beauty. It's about being significantly aware that that person needs to be felt and be important. I'm one of 11 siblings. I just learned this at the mahogany dining room table when I thought, somebody was speaking. How come nobody's paying attention to him or her? And what is it like to be paid attention to in a family of 11 siblings? And so I intuitively felt that I didn't know anything. It wasn't an intelligent thing. It wasn't an intelligent speak part. It was what is intuitively happening among this group. So you can even raise your level of being attractive by dressing the correctly. And wearing the right colors. There's something.
So in other words, you work it. You take what you get and you work it. So
you elevate it. You
yes.
elevate it.
My friend used to say, you work it, girl.
Well, you do. You work it and you elevate it.
Yes.
You know, I'm going to move into something that I was just working with somebody on. How do you make yourself more attractive? You wear the right colors and the right hairstyle. You get yourself into the 21st century. There are some women and men alike. You know, the mortal sin that women and men can do once they get into their 50s and 60s, do you know what one big one is?
What's that?
Wrong hair color.
Well, we have
they
1 minute,
hair,
Sasha, we've got 1 minute left, and we wanted to ask you this question really quick. As we age, what can we continue to look, how can we continue to look younger and slimmer while looking radiant as well?
So the first one was hair color.
It's all about the right colors. It's all about the right colors, because light affects colors differently. So in this last minute, choosing colors, not only everything that comes from above the waist is the most important. Your colors that touch your skin, your neck, your complexion, your eyes, and your hair. The fastest thing you can do is get the right hair color. If you'd have it all one color, you have no light bouncing off and you don't know what to do. The right colors make you look slimmer. Again, light defines it. Certain colors reflect light that makes you look larger. And other colors absorb light and makes you look smaller. So the right hair color, some highlights. Once you're over 50, nobody has all one color hair. Nobody has that. So you have to get the right angle or the right highlights.
And give us your website, too, before we go off air. Give us your website and tell us the title of your books.
SashaSpeaks.com. The books are How to Give a Talk People Talk About, and Introduce Yourself in Technicolor, and Remarkable Women.
Oh, we're so grateful to you for calling. And I know Ellen is going to say a couple of words to you before she signs off the segment here. She's looking at me with her blonde hair. I think she's trying
with
to figure
out.
With
my non-one color blonde hair,
yeah, she's
hair,
trying
by
to
the
figure
way.
Out if she has the right color for the right angle. And
that's
and pass to Paul, too.
No, that's a good question. What message am I sending, and what message do I want to send?
That's right. And you've always delivered that with every speech, with every connection that I've ever had with you. And it's just such a great... It's always a great time when I get to reconnect with you, even if it is on the phone. Wished you were here in person.
I know. We got to do that.
We got to do that, and we will.
Assisted living. And,
mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll make that happen again.
Yes.
So, but on behalf of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, we're just so glad that you called in. We're going to hear from our sponsors really quickly, and then we're going to come back with our second segment with Jessica Travis.
Portions of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. Portions of Sita and Friends is brought to you by Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture Store inside the Merritt Square Mall at the Sears Wing. Save big on furniture working with a flexible family-owned store with all the brands you love, from Ashley, Serta, Coaster, and so and more. Brand new, warranties as well. And delivery and haulaway available at a fraction of the cost of most stores, and delivered in 7 to 10 days. free no-credit checking and financing, and free interior design. The owner, Scott Palmer, has been in the mattress and furniture business for over 30 years, and Cloud 9 has been serving Central Florida for 7 years now. Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture Store, available at 321-459-2473. Again, call them 321-459-2473 or visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. What a great first segment with Sasha Zeeberg.
That was great.
Now I'm going to look everybody in the eye. Well, I always knew that. I just needed a reminder.
Well, and that's a lot of the class information that she provides are things that you probably have learned at some point, but she just puts such a flair on them that you do remember them right. For like forever.
Well, yes. Reminders.
And really good reminders. So thank you, Sasha Zeeberg, for joining us today and to be on the show. I just wanted to give a quick mention. I know many of you have been listening to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends for a long time, and we certainly appreciate all of your loyalty and sponsorship for making the show so great. But we hit a milestone last week of 2,700 downloads.
Wow.
And a lot of it has to do with all of the great things that you're doing out in the community, Sita.
My children, will you?
So, yeah.
Because they think I'm doing too much.
Well,
you are busy.
That's arguable, whether you're doing too much,
but
you're doing all the right things.
But you know what I
helping.
Find, though? I find, like, when I had the opportunity to cook and invite people to the house and have 100 people eat curry chicken and rice and a salad, people loved me. Because I was a place, the go-to house, the clubhouse, a place to visit on weekends. And once I started doing things for myself that I really like, I find that my base is not very happy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not
base
getting
for
the,
your kids?
Yeah.
Home base.
So, my friends too. But anyways, so the second segment is with attorney Jessica Travis.
Hello.
And yes. I was so impressed when you opened your own firm.
Yeah, it was time again.
Welcome to entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
Thanks.
As well as attorneyship.
I read your bio and I'm like, yeah, I remember when she opened and I can't believe it's almost a year already.
Well, it was the beginning of this year, but I actually had my own law practice in Kansas City before I moved here. And in fact, my husband's job said they wanted us to move here. And at first there was some not good words about leaving a business that I had established and everybody knew me, but I love it here in Brevard, and so I'm glad that I get to do it again.
Right, and you've been named one of the top 100 trial attorneys by the National Trial Lawyers Association. I love that.
Yeah, it's a good honor.
Yeah, when my daughter became an attorney, we went to her swearing in, the ceremony that they have,
right,
and they gave us these little badges that says civility matters.
Right.
And I still have my button from that, and I thought how nice it was that everyone that walked in, the trial attorneys, they gave us one of those buttons because they were trying to tell us even though you're in court and you're fighting a case, and you still have to be civil
right. And
show respect to people. And I loved it. I still have it up to today.
I think Facebook should have a civility badge.
I think it should.
Like,
yes.
If you say mean things, you don't get a badge.
Yeah. I think we should teach civics a little bit more than we do.
Actually,
yeah.
and Jessica had said that, and I think that would be a great topic for our show, would be civics.
Maybe
and
after
sure
the
we get
elections,
League of Women
we'll
Voters
do it.
And, you
yeah,
know,
we should.
Yeah.
So, Jess, so tell our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends a little bit about, some more about yourself. Where did you go to law school? And, a little background before we jump into what type of law you practice and all that.
Okay, I'm originally from Kansas, My hometown is 20 miles away from the original Little House on the Prairie. It's in the middle of nowhere.
Really? Is that where Little House on the Prairie was taped?
Yeah, the first one. And then I think they eventually moved to Wisconsin or something like that. So there's two locations. It's not where it was taped, though. So rural, blue-collar upbringing. My father was a supervisor in a plant. My mother eventually became a teacher when I was a teenager. So very hardworking. I then went to school in Kansas at Washburn University and worked in Kansas City as a public defender, then was hired by a big-name criminal defense attorney, Carl Cornwell, there in Kansas City, and then eventually started my own practice before my husband's job took us here. And I worked for this public defender's office, then worked for a local firm.
Right. So tell us what type of law firm do you own now?
Well, so I have done criminal defense for 19-plus years, so that is the main part of my practice, including appeals and post-conviction motions. I also do personal injury, so if you have been injured in a car accident or slip and fall. I've also recently started to take up discrimination and employment discrimination and potentially immigration. Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah.
So basically, if you're an underdog and you need someone to advocate for you,
I'm
your attorney.
And sometimes you hear people say about an attorney, how can you defend criminals?
Right.
But, I mean, bad things happen. And you need somebody to defend you. So
right. So our criminal justice system is the best in the world, but it's not perfect. People lie or exaggerate. The police miss things in their investigation. They might have what I call an occupational bias, to where they just suspect almost everybody is guilty that they interact with. The prosecutors have unlimited resources. They get tunnel vision on their cases, and they don't see all the facts. And so I really believe in our justice system and the Constitution. People are not perfect either. Very few of them are truly evil in my book. They have mental health issues. They're poor. They have drug addiction. They are not thinking, hey, I'm going to go out and hurt someone. That doesn't mean that they shouldn't have consequences and shouldn't be punished, but they shouldn't be over-prosecuted. So I kind of see defense attorneys as a check in the system to make the system better. I really believe in the Constitution and that justice requires that we have that check to make sure our system continues to be the best one out there.
And I know this is important because, I mean, our background helps all of us in the chosen profession, right?
Right.
So is there anything in your background that helps you as an attorney?
Well, I think the fact that I come from a blue-collar background that instilled in me hard work. I'm not one of these silver spoon attorneys. I had to work my way through college and law school. My mother is a teacher, and she taught mentally handicapped children and would have me go to class with her and help. So I understand mental illness, and my undergrad is in psychology. I also had a pretty religious upbringing, and even though I might not practice my mother's religion anymore, it instilled in me some morals. And so I don't talk down to people. We were poor. We had the utilities turned off. We ate government cheese. I understand what it's like to struggle. So I don't talk down to people. I work hard for my clients, and I understand what it's like.
That government cheese, it's usually cheddar cheese.
Yeah, who knows what it is.
It's sharp cheddar cheese.
Well, in Kansas, it's pretty close to Wisconsin, so I'm pretty sure they got a good deal on it.
And it tastes like cheddar cheese. It tastes like wax, yeah.
It's processed cheese food.
Yes.
When I worked at one of the nursing facilities, she was on WIC, and she was getting all this cheddar cheese. And so she brought the cheese in to give to us. And I was like, are you serious? Are you getting this really good, sharp cheddar cheese with WIC? Yeah. Well, I suppose when you're pregnant, maybe they give it to you.
Well, this was the 70s and 80s in Kansas. Yeah. It was like bad Velveeta.
So you got bad cheese. What a thing to remember, right? Yeah. Bad cheese.
Yeah.
So now we have so many people in our family who are attorneys as well. And I think attorneys, it's hard for you guys to be able to trust people, because no matter what you do in your private sector or the public sector, right, you have to be careful what you say.
Right.
I mean, what kind of advice would you give an attorney?
Well, so it is hard because everybody that you deal with has a problem. And so it can be emotionally draining. And then when you go to court, the prosecutor isn't happy, the judge isn't happy, your client isn't happy, and so there's a lot of stress that goes with that. They don't really teach you in law school how to have work-life balance or how to take care of yourself, and you can think you're Superman or Superwoman and you're handling it just fine, then all of a sudden your body will start to show signs of stress, or you'll do something stupid. I had many friends burn out not too long after law school, and I developed some food allergies in my 30s. I got over them eventually, but it was due to stress. And it taught me to take care of myself. You can only take care of other people if you're taking care of yourself.
And we've talked about that before, about what the pay scale for the public defender and the prosecutors. I mean,
it's horrible.
It's horrible. I mean, I know a lot of people who have a law degree and they're working like in an admissions office at a hospital, or it's a social worker, or just intake. And I would be like, "Are you? Do you really have a law degree?" And they're like, "Yeah, but we make more here than we did there."
Right.
I mean, I don't understand why, because this is. I mean, what you all do for
the
public.
Well, and what you're pointing out, the stress of you're getting,
and
you know, for lack of a better word, you're getting attacked from the other side, whatever the other side is,
and the
from
families,
the attorney, from
the families,
the families.
And I will say, I mean, public defenders and the state attorneys as well have a huge caseload.
And no help. They don't even have an aide sometimes.
Right. And then that is frustrating for the client because they're getting very little time with their attorney. And so it is a juggling act that can take its toll on you personally. It can take a toll on the case or on the client. It could take a toll on your family life if you're not careful.
I wonder why they don't place more value on the public defenders, the prosecutors, the teachers, and pay them more. Because by the time you pay your mortgage or rent, car payment, insurance, put food on the table.
And
if you loan. And if you happen to get married, you have a wife and a kid. I know so many attorneys that are really struggling. And it's amazing that our society don't put more value on what they do.
Right.
It's unfair.
Right.
I think it's really unfair.
Actually, my little brother was thinking about going to law school, and I said, don't do it unless you really love the practice of law and are prepared to go into debt. And he decided not to do it. And I think it was the right choice for him. But I know a lot of people who are the best attorneys in the world, and they are stuck working for the government at these horrible low-paying jobs, and mostly because they need the benefits because they have children.
There we go with that health insurance. Right? I tell you, that's why I'm running my campaign. I just want people to have health. You know, I never thought about it till I started speaking with people like on the campaign trail and at work. This health insurance benefit is a huge thing in this country.
Right.
You cannot pay people peanuts and then expect them to pay $800 out of their check every month. It just is not fair.
Right.
It's just not fair. So what advice would you give people who might need an attorney, who are looking for an attorney, need one like right away?
Right. So a lot of people think they can talk themselves out of situations with the police. And unfortunately, the police, as I said, there's a lot of good officers out there. Don't get me wrong. But a lot of times they have occupational bias, meaning they might hear something you say as an admission to some sort of crime. Don't think that you could talk yourself out of a situation and call a lawyer sooner rather than later. A lot of times people call me and it's way too late. And then the other thing I would recommend is that you get several names of different attorneys and go talk to at least two or three different attorneys and find one that you're more comfortable with. I know there's an inclination to just go to the first one that's referred by a friend. You probably are okay if you do that, but I really think if you have the luxury of a day or two of time, that you should shop around a little bit.
And I know this question, Ellen, you and I talk about this one all the time. What makes you different from another person in your business, right? Because I think oftentimes people want to know, like, what makes you stand out?
Right.
Right? We always say listening, communication, maybe the website, whatever
right.
it is.
Well,
experience.
Yeah, experience. And then also, unfortunately, I think a lot of lawyers come with ego, and their law practice is all about the lawyer, and the lawyer tries to tell the client what to do. What I try to do is listen to the client, work their case as hard as possible, and empower them with information and knowledge that their case has been worked so that they can make the decision. And even if we disagree about the direction to take the case, they're the ones calling the shot at the end of the day, and I'm going to do what they want. So I think because of my background and that I don't come with a lot of ego, and that I work a little bit harder for my clients, and I like to think that I empower them to make the decisions.
You are likable, Jess. You really are. I mean, a lot of us girls, I know you have a lot of the same friends I have on Facebook too, and it's amazing because when you put stuff out there, it empowers us and motivates us as well. Because you really care about humanity, and
right.
It shows. It
I really,
really
care
really
about
shows.
The Constitution, everybody from every walk of life. I try to put stuff out there that's positive, not necessarily negative. But, yeah, I really believe, you know, with my...
I don't think it's negative. I think it's thought-provoking.
Right.
You know, that's really where it boils down to. It's
and
really
she writes
just to get
well.
People to think.
Right. My motto is question everything.
Yeah.
Question everything.
You should write a book.
I should.
And you should call it Question Everything.
Yeah, I should.
Because when we went to the Florida Today Forum, you wrote, you were writing, like, I couldn't believe, like, we got out of the forum and she had already written down what she learned. And it was an attorney speak. Yeah. I mean, it was perfect. It was just perfect.
A little summary on my phone.
Yeah, I loved it. I was like, oh my God, she's so awesome.
Yeah.
And I shared it with a lot of my friends too. But this is a good time for us to talk to you about voting rights,
right.
Civil rights, voter restoration.
Right.
We have that on the ballot. And boy, do I believe that should better be passed.
Yeah, I hope that it does too. I mean, if you have paid your debts to society, I think you should be able to have a say in that society. I mean, that's the bottom line. And it really is so easy to become a felon. It used to be, you know, back in the old days, becoming a felon was for the most serious of crimes. If you steal $301 worth of stuff from Walmart, you're a felon. And so
that $1.
Yeah, that $1 keeps you from ever being able to vote again. No, if you pay your debt, then you should be able to participate in
that. Well, isn't that what life's about? Forgiveness too, right? And somehow or the other, we don't want to forgive people once they've paid their debt to society. Now, I understand if you were a hardcore criminal,
right?
That's different.
Right.
What are you talking about? Like you say, people from who caught
with
weed.
Somebody had said at one point, I mean, as ridiculous as this sounds, but releasing helium balloons into the air is like, it can be considered a felony.
That's a new one to me, but
yeah,
I wouldn't doubt it.
I didn't know that.
But I mean, we have enough odd things on the books that certainly should be looked at. And maybe on a case-by-case basis. It shouldn't be threatening or sexual abuse or
right.
something violent or something like that.
The most
but anything the rest of it, you should get your rights.
Right. The current proposal, I think, allows for restoration of rights, except for the most serious of crimes.
Yeah, that's
and
the
weird thing is that people have told me that it had something to do with employment, that the thing that was on the ballot was going to prevent people from asking if people were convicted felon when they applied for a job. I think that's some sort of propaganda that's circulating. I said, no, that's not the case at
but
all.
But it also might be one of those where they put two in one.
No, this one does not have that.
It didn't seem like
I read
that.
This one
yeah.
because
yeah,
I'm behind it 100%.
Yeah.
And the other
so
thing
question
is like,
right, question,
yeah, I know,
everything.
Question everything. That's a book. That's,
there's the theme
that's
of the
chapter
show today.
One.
Yeah.
That's chapter one. And the other thing is like, of lately, I'm coming in contact with so many people who are naturalized citizens, wanted to come to the United States. And like me, I love it here. I would never want to live anywhere else, right? But I want to change things. I want to stay engaged in my community and make lives better for my grandchildren and people that I know. And then I run into people that were born here, and they are not voting.
Right.
And they give me all these cockamamie stories why they don't vote, and nothing makes sense. Because then I say to them, well, do you have children in public school? Do you have a stop sign at the end of your street? Do you have a street with potholes? Do you have to pay car insurance, health insurance, mortgages? Do you have an interest rate? Well, yeah, I have. Well, everything is political. Think about it. What do you think? Where did we lose that message that people just don't care to vote?
I think a lot of people, I mean, the people that I've come up with that haven't voted, they're just so disgusted with the whole system that they've just lost hope. I think you should be required to vote. I think it should be a national holiday. I think everyone should be required to watch at least one debate, because I think the more you're involved and the more you know, the more you feel like maybe your voice can make a difference. Unfortunately, we're so bogged down in Washington.
Even state politics.
Like, I know.
You hear people say, I want more accountability amongst elected officials, but yet still, they vote blindly for a Republican or a Democrat because of the party affiliation.
Right.
But they're not looking at the voting record. Like, they're all complaining about the Indian River Lagoon. Well, really and truly, that didn't get like that overnight.
Right.
Something happened over time that causes the lagoon to have that much nutrients and fertilizers and muck and all that. And I said, well, have you read anything? No. Well, how are you going to... I don't understand how people could vote without even reading about what they're voting for.
Yeah, I don't know why there's a lack of education on issues. I don't know what the answer is to that other than to question everything. But
yeah, question everything.
So, once again, so educate
yourself.
So we love your website. I went on it and I was like, this is so perfect. So give our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends the website so that they can start looking at it and maybe send you information if they need an attorney.
Okay, well, it's www. It's Travis Law. travislaw-brevard.com. So it's travislaw-brevard.com. There is another Jessica Travis that's a lawyer in Orlando.
Saw that.
She's a great lawyer, so I don't, you know, the fact that we share a name doesn't hurt my feelings, right. But make sure you're not looking at the Jessica Travis.
Yeah, they have to make sure they put in Brevard.
Yeah, Brevard.
Because when I went on, I looked at that and there were two of them.
Right.
So you moved from Kansas to Brevard.
Right.
What are the differences between living in Kansas versus Brevard? Because and what people think about when they think of Kansas, just the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, I know. Well, I was in Kansas City, so it was actually metropolitan, bigger than, I mean, I grew up in rural Kansas, but where my practice was in a city. And so it was great because there was multiple courts and I was able to do a lot of good things and argue in front of the appellate courts, et cetera. The biggest difference besides the weather is that people here are more transient. They don't have families behind them. And so in Kansas City, I used to get hired by families. And a lot of times people here don't have that support.
Always that four Fs, right? Or is it five Fs? Friends, family, finances, food, and faith.
Right.
Kansas has that, actually. Yes, they do.
Sometimes to a fault. Depends on where you're at. There is something about the Midwest work ethic, I will say, that I didn't really realize when I was living there, but coming here, I can see what they mean by it. And I think we work a little bit harder than some, maybe.
In the Midwest?
Average.
Yeah.
On average.
It's true.
And the way see it, there's 3 or 4 months out of the year that you guys don't come out of your house up north. So you have that, like, downtime, that recharge time. And the rest of us have to work, like, 12 months out of the year because we have sunshine all the
time.
Except
for when the surf is up.
So, right.
Yes.
So that's my argument for that.
Yeah.
So Jessica.
Question everything.
So we're speaking with attorney Jessica Travis for our friends who are tuning in. And we're talking about her practice and the services offered. And Ellen and I know her well, and we recommend her for pretty much all your needs, all your attorney needs.
Right. I often share with a business and real estate lawyer, so give us a call. Yeah. Somebody could take care of
it. Well, did you find that you had a lot of challenges in opening your own business?
No, I will tell you there's a lot of stuff that's different than when I had my own practice 8 years ago by way of technology. You can do so much more now with technology that it really helps us in regards to a small business. I had to learn to be more social media savvy, and
it's intimidating unless your name is Ellen O'Neill and you could do it like right away. I mean, I even nursing, everything is all computerized.
I can't do the nursing thing, and I can't litigate in front of a lawyer, so I'm good.
Yeah,
like, you know, like that's all I do. That's
pushing me to put videos on my website, and I'm dragging my feet because I just come from, you know, that era where you don't really do that. But I, you know, that's what you got to do these days. So there's a lot of differences. And then just getting your name out there, which is why this is great. Thank you.
Yes. Well, you know, Facebook, usually they'll say, what's on your mind, right? And so somebody said, oh, you shouldn't post. I'm like, but the last time I checked, that's what Facebook asks you. What's on your mind, not your sister's mind,
right,
or your brother's mind,
right,
or your friend's mind. That's social media for you. And it does work.
Right.
We get a lot of our guests from Facebook or Instagram. Ellen is on Twitter, too.
Yeah.
She does it all. So give us a website one more time. Ellen's going to put it on my website as well, right?
Yes,
you're going to link her website to ours.
Yep.
It's travislaw-brevard.com.
Yeah. And would you advise a young attorney to work for the public defender or the prosecutor's office before they went out on their own practice?
I definitely would. It's the best way to get experience. I did that when I was first out of law school. Actually, in law school, I researched for the capital defender, worked for the public defender when I was right out of law school, and then when I came here to Florida, I went to work for the public defender again, knowing that that was the best way to get up to speed on Florida law. That's the best education.
And there's so many politicians whose background is being an attorney.
Right.
I wonder why. I mean, because it's like they seem to go from law school to prosecutor, defender, to straight back to politicians.
Right. Well, being a lawyer teaches you how to speak and maybe relate to people, but also there's lawyers tend to have big egos, and maybe politicians do.
They do.
If you want to think about it that way.
Because, you know, I think Ron DeSantis isn't he? Was he an attorney or a businessman? I'm not sure. But he does. I saw a video with him last night he was speaking about the Indian River Lagoon, and then all of a sudden he just flipped from there right on to Andrew Gillum and 40% taxes.
Right.
And I'm like, no, don't do that.
Yeah.
Lawyers do that. So I was like, come back.
I think that lawyers, too, become more aware of issues. maybe not, but on average, I mean, you have to be up to speed on issues. So maybe you start to care about stuff a little bit more and you want to go into
right.
politics.
The care about the...
Or you have an ego.
The criminal justice system. I think, I mean, whether we like it or not, I believe the United States has a system that's very fair and just. I mean, we look at what's happening all over the world and it's not like ours.
Right.
It might be backlog of cases. And we might pay them less than they deserve, but they should be paid more. I'm all about giving them more or pay their health insurance for them.
Right.
But I still think we have the best system in the world.
No, I do. And I believe in that system. And I think that defense attorneys are a necessary part of that system. If we didn't have defense attorneys, we'd Nazi Germany. I don't know.
We still have some time, so that's good. So any cases that stands out in your mind that you could talk about publicly that you felt really good about?
Well, I mean, I have had some great results with some not guilties and things of that nature, but I've had cases that have taught me lessons in which my client maybe told me their side of what happened, and I questioned it and doubted it, only to come later and figure out that what they told me was true.
It must be so satisfying, too, that you change somebody's life like that.
Yeah.
And not just the client, but the families, too.
Because right.
when somebody gets arrested, I mean, it affects the community, the family, everyone. Like we saw what everyone's been asking me about, this boy from Trinidad that is involved with that plane at the airport in Melbourne. And you know what? If you look at the family's background, that has affected not just that child, but his mother and father.
Right.
The whole island, it's almost like all of us are in shock.
Right.
But it's, you know, people have issues, mental issues and all kind of issues.
So along those lines, are there any laws that you would change?
Yes. I would change a lot of laws. We don't have much time. But I would I would require all officers to have cameras. That helps both the defense and the prosecution and to make sure everything's fair. I would...
you said mandatory minimums.
Get rid of mandatory minimums. That takes away the discretion of the courts. I would probably get away with stand your ground law. You know, I, as a defense attorney, you would think that I would like that, but I think it has emboldened people to act aggressively and then claim that they were standing their ground.
It gives them an excuse.
Right, mm-hmm. And that's not what the law was intended. And so I actually have clients that come to me and say, hey, I was just standing my ground, and then I look into it, I'm like, no, you created a situation. You can't claim stand your ground. And also, I think Florida suspends driver's license for every little thing, and so you get these people that get caught not being able to pay their traffic fines or whatever, and it snowballs, it gets sent to collections, it's triple, and then they say, you know, they could never get their license back, and it turns into a felony or some great scenario. So,
and sensible gun reform laws, my common sense approaches to
and
gun violence.
I would legalize marijuana. The reason they don't want that legalized, it's the number one law enforcement tool that the police use. Once the police claim that they can smell marijuana in your car, they get to search your car. If they legalize marijuana, then that's no longer justification to get in your car. And
yeah, it's like the fellas
stops them from investigating.
It's like
crimes.
I told you, the fellas on the junction in Trinidad, my father used to talk about those fellas all the time. My father's dead, his brothers are dead, his friends are dead. The fellas are older with gray dreadlocks, and they're still alive.
And they don't have glaucoma.
No, and they're skinny, and they're living. You know what? I mean, the pharmaceutical companies are making a mint off of drugs.
Yeah,
I think
that's
it's
more dangerous.
Yeah, goes back to money.
You know, you can abuse marijuana just like you can abuse alcohol, but, you know, they're pretty similar to me.
Yeah.
What a great segment. And it was such a pleasure getting
Thanks
to know you a little
me.
Bit more. And certainly people can find you on your website. They can call the office and get an appointment with you if they so need to. Any events that you go to on a regular basis that somebody could meet you sort of more socially?
Well, I've been trying to social. Well, I work too much,
okay.
Really.
All right.
Give me
a
call.
We'll have a next segment on Viewpoint with CETA and Friends next Monday at 1 o'clock.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches.